Good morning. It's a cold and freezing morning on December 2nd, 2024. I hope this day finds you doing well. You know, I've heard many well-meaning people say things like this. Listen to these. They'll say things like, God doesn't care about your happiness. He only cares about your holiness. And then others will say, there's a stark difference between happiness and joyfulness. And then others will say, God doesn't seek to make people happy. He seeks to make them holy. Now, these are all truisms that the church seems to live by. The reality is, these are true statements when they are kept in a particular context. And I am a firm believer that the majority of things that we say as people should always be considered in light of the context that they belong in. When we take something out of context and try to make a position or something out of it, we take some kind of statement and we throw it into this thing, if you will, and we take it out of context, then it becomes a problem in many ways. The problem is we as church people are really quick to use these phrases to attack others spiritually. We weaponize the gospel. We weaponize God's word. We weaponize Christian living in reality. But this kind of really begs the question today, and this is what I'm getting at. Does God care about the happiness of his people? You may say, well, why only his people? Because if you are unsaved, you are already unhappy. And true happiness is found only in Christ, and we know that as God's people. And let me make the case for you, just in case you may be struggling with what I'm saying today. It's really a matter of choosing to be satisfied in him. I believe that with my whole heart. I'm reminded of what John Piper once said. He said, we are most glorified in God when we are most satisfied in him. God makes himself available to us on a daily basis, does he not? But we are often refusing to immerse ourselves in him. We refuse to consider the greatness of his being. God is so glorious and he's so powerful and he's so amazing, and this is just evident in the birth of children or the joy at a wedding or the splendor of a mountain or the way the leaves fall during autumn. You know, those are things that God does that display his glory and his greatness to us. I mean, if we were to behold him with our eyes, we would faint and cease to be alive, because he is holy, he is pure. We refuse to lift up hands to praise his name. That happens on a weekly basis, especially on Sundays, when half of congregations refuse to praise God. Maybe they're scared to sing. Maybe they don't know how to praise God. Maybe they don't want to praise God. Maybe they're angry at God. But regardless, they refuse to praise his name. They do that in church. I can only imagine what their personal life is like. And we refuse to follow him each day, every day, all day, realizing that we have been created to lift him up and to magnify his name. He is God. Let me also give you some text here. I've got a few written down on paper here. It says Ecclesiastes 3:12 and Matthew 25:21. Write those down. Those are the ones that I wrote down that I wanted to read to you. I think these will bless you. So going to Ecclesiastes 3:12, which is a wisdom book, it says this. This is Solomon speaking. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. And then Jesus' words in Matthew 25:21, his master said to him, he's telling a parable, by the way, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I mean, the Bible is ripe with great verses about joy and happiness and those things, but let me leave you with something that you may really need to consider here. God cares whether or not we are happy. But what God really cares about is what it is that is making us happy. What are we basing our happiness on? What are we looking at as the object of whether or not we're happy? You know, what are we resting our happiness in? What are we resting our joy in? And so forth. You will never find a person or a thing that will make you 100% happy 100% of the time. Because people will fail you. Things will fail you. And I'm kind of the belief that maybe they're supposed to. Maybe they're set up that way. Maybe it's designed to happen that way. And to make my case, let me just read something that C.S. Lewis said in one of his books called The Problem of Pain. Don't know if you've ever read it. I read it years ago, and I need to really brush back up on it. I haven't read it in a long time, guys. And anything that C.S. Lewis says is great, in my opinion. I've always been amazed and marveled at his words. But this is what he said here. He said, "My own experience is something like this. I am progressing along the path of life in an ordinary, contentedly fallen and godless condition, absorbed in a merry meeting with my friends for the morrow, or a bit of work that tickles my vanity today, a holiday or a new book, when suddenly a stab of abdominal pain that threatens serious disease, or a headline in the newspapers that threatens us all with destruction, sends this whole pack of cards tumbling down. Lewis says, at first I'm overwhelmed, and all my little happinesses look like broken toys. Then slowly and reluctantly, bit by bit, I try to bring myself into the frame of mind that I should be in at all times. I remind myself that all these toys were never intended to possess my heart, that my true good is in another world, and my only real treasure is Christ. And, perhaps, by God's grace, I succeed, and for a day or two become a creature consciously dependent on God, and drawing its strength from the right sources. But the moment the threat is withdrawn, my whole nature leaps back to the toys." I tell you, you know, when we think about that, it seems that it's evidently clear when we know the Lord, we realize our happiness can only be in Him. And that when things happen, sometimes it's to draw our attention back to that realization, because God knows the path that sin and the path that obsession and the path that fandemonium and all of that stuff, or you know, just worshiping things, where that can take us. It can lead us from Him. God knows that He is best for us because God created us and He is best for us. And when I read Lewis's words, I'm amazed at how vibrant he describes it. You know, when the threat is removed, our nature leaps back to the toys. Remember, we can only be happy ultimately in Christ. There's great joys in this life. There's great things that bring us a temporary kind of second-rate happiness. But our true happiness is in Christ. And that's the gospel, friends. That's the gospel for you today. And I hope that as you live this week in a new month, at the end of a year that's been really long, that you realize that you can only be as happy is you are close to Christ. The closer you draw to Christ, the more happier you will be in Him, and the more you will realize that God has intended it that way. So seek Christ today while you're alive. Seek Him while He may be found, and find that your joy in Him is ultimate. It's the fulfillment of your very existence. I hope that God blesses you today and that you realize how blessed you are in God. Praise His name. Love you and hope to see you soon. God bless.